with the Vulcan thing, so I forgot to set this up. You know that the letter is shin, and it looks like a W. That's where you get the this, right? Shin goes this way. And we're missing the cord. The cord's over there in that top drawer, maybe. And so this morning, I would just, as Kevin's helping me set up that, we'll figure this out in a moment. But I do want to suggest that we continue on our series in heaven. And one of the things I think about when I think about heaven is kind of hanging out together. And what happens this past few weeks is in the middle of the blizzards, in the middle of all the Patriots and my son's sports stuff, there is this one activity that we all did, and we had to make time for it. Grandmother Chin was very explicit, right? Very explicit indeed, because it was Lunar New Year. Lunar New Year, we all have to come and hang out at her house, right? New Year's Eve, everyone has to close the year off together. It's very important in her tradition. You know, many of us are of Chinese heritage. We all come together, and this giant reunion, you know, at grandmother's house, okay? Who had a chance to do that? You know, who did that this past few weeks? A reunion? Yeah, family? Chinese New Year dinners? Come on. Yeah. Okay, so we all got together, and I was going to show a picture of our one big happy family. You know, we had, you know, grandmother insists that we all sit at one table, you know, and with 3 and 4 generations of Chins, the Chin clan gets like 20-something big. So she has her dining room table, and she has another table, and another table, and we're all in this one table, and at the beginning we say grace, and then we all lift up our red cups, and we cheer because it's the close of a new year, enter a new year, and we're all happy, we're one big happy family. Well, you know, it lasts for about 3 minutes. Because all the food is there, all the stuff is going, and then the kids start crying and all that stuff. But for that moment in time and space, we're one big, happy family. And I want you to think about that. You know, all the beauty and relational stuff, everyone comes from far. And I know in China, everyone goes, right? It's most travel time in all of Asia when everyone goes home for the New Year's, right? There's all these family reunions. People come, you know, from way far to come and be part of this family reunion. This is sort of the image, I think, that helps us to think about what heaven will be like. One big happy family. I'm stealing Pastor Enoch's stuff, just to let you know. He preaches 2 weeks ago, so I'm a great beneficiary of having a lot of his notes and stuff. So it's, instead of heavenly reunion, which is true, one big happy family it sounds so much more like easy to remember and almost Asian. Yeah, it's like happy garden or something. And so we're going to talk about that. So that eternity in terms of our relationships will be like being in one happy family, not just for 3 minutes, but unto eternity, moment after moment after moment after moment. All the best parts of our family reunions without all the other stuff. Crying babies, weird uncles, you know, that kind of stuff. Okay, so let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love for us. We thank you that you give us a chance to be together so that we would look into your word and understand and look forward, oh God, to what you have in store for us, what you've promised for us. We pray that you would do a new thing in our lives, that as we have perspective on our lives, that you grant us greater grace to be your people here and now, to look forward to our eternity with you. We pray this and with each other. We pray this in Jesus. Amen. So what we're going to do is look at Scripture this morning, and if we find a cable, which we're looking for, we will get some images up on screen. But I want you to suggest that there are going to be 4 things we talk about really quickly, okay? This idea of a family reunion, one big happy family, that will be point one. And by the way, youth, I want to suggest that I read this article this week on the efficiency of remembering things either through typing, you know, so a lot of students bring their laptops to class now and they just take notes, or by hand. And the studies show that writing by hand is actually better in terms of remembering stuff. Why? Because when you type, you tend to transcribe, right? You tend to transcribe and not think. You're just trying to go as fast as you can, but in longhand, you cannot write as fast as the person talks. So what happens is that you have to process the information and put down just the main points. So I'm going to suggest and encourage you guys to put down your handheld devices and take it, and ask the ushers to come and look for pencils and pass them around for those who want them, so you can take handwritten notes on the main points, only the main points, so we can together, and you guys too, not just the youth, right? All of us who are, our tendency is to do that, and suggest that we will do that together so that we can remember more, okay? Because God wants us to remember what He wants to show us. And there was this cool image this past week. I didn't have a chance to clip it in someone's Facebook. It was about Jesus, you know, that famous painting by, you know, one of those famous, Michelangelo, right? Jesus at the table, and that's the whole Da Vinci Code thing. Long table, and Jesus in the middle, and all the disciples are not listening to Jesus, and they're all on their handhelds. It's a really cool picture. That's how I feel sometimes on Sundays. I'm not Jesus, I understand. But, okay, here we go. And so as we're getting this up, the first point is just, what is a family reunion like? What's this one happy family like? The second point is, what about marriage and sex and romance? That's point two. At three is the questions about children and family. And point four is about, what is it, you know, questions about, what about those who aren't here, aren't there in heaven with us? Okay, so it's kind of like, you know, we'll talk about the general, and then we'll go specifically into questions around marriage, questions around family and children, questions around those who aren't there. Okay, that's where we're going with this morning. And if this comes up, can we switch the screen? And, well, one of them's up. That's good. Thank you so much, Kevin, and all. So that's my family reunion, Lunar New Year at the Chin household, and you can't see the end of the table, but there are people all on the left side there, around there. So, here we go. We remember and we want to review that heaven is like what? The recreation and the renewal of the earth. Right? Sunrise, when we sang that song early, we've seen the glory of the Lord. What did you think about? I thought about the beauty of all God's made, and some of the mountaintops I've been on, some of the sunsets I've been, some of the people and places I've been to experience God together. Right? What is that? But it is the recreation. It is the renewal of the earth. It's a physical place where heaven comes down, new heavens and the new earth, and Larry is going to talk about that next week, right? And we're going to spend more time talking about that and reviewing, because some of you guys missed my talk on that during the blizzard. So Larry's going to do an even more, you know, full exposition of that passage. And we remind it that heaven and earth, you know, there's harmony all over, and both humanity and animals and so on and so forth. And so we talked about that. We're in series number 8, right? Or 9. 8. Is that right? What number are we now? I can't even keep track of this. 8. So hopefully you've gotten some of that and beginning to look forward to heaven. And so we've been using this book by Randy Alcorn. And so the first thing we're going to think about is eternal joyous family reunion. So we think about family reunion, and I thought about and shared with you about that. And what we think about is, you know, people coming back together, hanging out together. But we also recognize there was one big happy family. Like we were at, for instance, before I get to the illustration, you already saw it. We should look in Scripture, right? So basically, what we see in your bulletin today is all these different references, not from one reference only. It is all these different references. For instance, in Revelation chapter 7, we see what happens, that there's going to be worship, and worship is going to be all together with so many different people, and it's going to be ethnically inclusive or multi-ethnic. Why? Because people from every tribe, nation, and tongue and language will be standing before the Lord, and we'll be worshiping together. It does remind me of when we were at Urbana, 2012, and it's coming again 2015. And it, Urbana, you know, Urbana is Illinois. I think I've shared this a little bit before. First Urbana I went to, it was back in the 80s when I was in college. And back then it was like 20,000 people. And we're all in this giant stadium, University of Illinois at Urbana. And in the middle is the worship team, and we're surrounding this whole thing. And it's Urbana, Illinois, and we have the opportunity to worship together. All together. And what's cool about worship is, it, you know, here I was at the Mandarin worship last week, and it was beautiful. It was so heartfelt, and one of the gals was playing the piano, and the other one was on the violin. And it's like half of how many we are, but it was so heartfelt. Worship can happen at any size, but something happens when you're in this giant, you know, arena, and everyone is worshiping with their hearts at full blast. Okay, you could feel every reverberation. And not only that, it was in multilingual languages, because they were teaching us songs in Spanish, in Korean, in Mandarin, in French, in Swahili, right? They were teaching us all these different songs, and I'm a little old school, so I have a hard time. I'm looking forward to heaven when I get to do that and not have to kind of struggle with, what does that word mean? How do you pronounce that again? Because I will understand either by, you know, the gift of tongues that we'll all get, so we'll all be able to do that interchangeably, or I'll have an eternity to learn all these different languages I've always wanted to learn. Right? So, in either case, we are going to be worshiping together with people from all kinds of ethnicities, all kinds of tongues, from all the past ages into the ages future. Okay? So, it's going to be so cool for us to be worshiping together. It'll be, a multi-ethnic experience. You see, this Sunday is called Black Sunday, right? You guys know that, right? So in the news, you understand that we're celebrating the 50th anniversary of Selma, right, in the civil rights movement today. And so yesterday, the president and a whole bunch of folks went back to Selma to walk across the bridge that they originally went across. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King and all the civil rights leaders who walked peacefully across that bridge, but were met with violence, met with all sorts of beatings and things like that. And so we mark the turning point of the civil rights movement because of Black Sunday 50 years ago. See, the vision then, and still is today, was for a society where people are, you know, really care for each other regardless of the color of their skin, regardless of what, you know, socioeconomic situation they're in. It is that vision that the Reverend Martin Luther King, you know, espoused and led into, you know, all those folks, and we are the beneficiaries of today, right? But that vision comes from Scripture. That vision was not a vision that came from himself. He's a reverend. He's a pastor. Right? He got that vision because in Scripture, that is the vision that we have, you know, unto eternity because of who God is and how He's created us and what He wants the culmination of the ages to look like and forever and ever. So, we today, we are beneficiaries. We've made significant progress, he said, President Obama said. Significant progress 50 years ago in race relations, in gender relations, and all these other things, and yet there's a ways to go. We know that ways to go will certainly come. Maybe not in our lifetime and not in the time of the United States. It's the time when the culmination of the age will happen in Christ Jesus, right? So we will look forward to that time when we will worship together like in Urbana, and we'll just be there together forever and ever, and we'll see people up there, right? We'll see people, all our old friends. You see, I love that picture at the bottom. And the picture on the left is, you know, all the kids, not all the kids, some of the students who went to Urbana, our sons are among them, who went to Urbana together. They were celebrating, enjoying, you know, worshiping together. Some of the people was like a reunion. Some of those guys in the left corner are the folks I did Asian American Ministries with a decade and a half ago, and I hadn't seen them. They're all over the country, all over the world now. We have opportunity to hang out together and catch up. And the people up on top screens were people who gave testimony of how God was working in their lives, how God was using them to touch other people for Christ. And it was wonderful to see these testimonies. And on this giant jumbotron, you know, the person's talking, and we're in 20,000 people, you know, 17,000 people this year, last year. You know, the person's really, 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 really tiny down there. You think I'm tiny. But, you know, when you're up there, so you have to look at all the jumbotrons, right? The screens. And I just took a picture of the screens because they were speaking down there, and I was watching them up here. You see, I think that in that time and space, when we're worshiping together, working together, as Sam reminded us, and doing all these things together, we'll have opportunities to celebrate different people and different accomplishments that God used in their lives and worked in their lives. And so who will we see in heaven? Who will we see in heaven? So this gives us a preview, right? The people that we'll see in heaven are people who are like the long-lost loved ones that we have missed for so long. Some people will see in heaven. See, heaven will be this place where there's this great reunion. And there are some people who have left this world and are already there awaiting us. Right? And so I recall and look forward to the fact that I will see my mom, who I last saw
on her deathbed, dying of cancer, jaundice, emaciated. And I will see her smiling, pink. Her cheeks will be pink, and she will receive me in heaven. I will see, last time I saw a little 12-year-old and his father crawl into bed with him in his last breaths, I will see him again, jumping up and down and welcoming him, me and so many of us, into our eternal home. We will see those people who we've long lost. A good friend from high school, who in a moment of sadness and depression took his life. And I will see him. We will see him. And he will be riding bikes and climbing mountains again. I will see the sister I never met, who was miscarried when I was young. And I will see her and meet her. You see, we will see long lost loved ones and all the people who have gone before us. We will see. And we'll see those who we've never met before, like my sister. We'll see those like my son's sons' sons and daughters. Right? As I build into my sons and God gives us grace that they would come to Christ and disciple and care for their children and their children after them, their children after them, I will get to see my children's 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 children in Christ. Man, that's exciting to me. I will get to see all the ancient saints of old in the scriptures. I'm going to go up there, you know, because we're going to have lots of time, right? We're going to have lots of time to meet all these guys. And so I'm going to make an appointment with Adam and Eve and say, what were you thinking? What were you thinking when you did that? Come on. And I went to talk to Abraham. I said, man, when you went up on that mountain, it must have been really tough to lower that, have that knife come swiftly down. I'm going to talk to all these guys. We will talk with all these folks. The saints of old and saints of church history, whether it's, you know, the ancient fathers like Augustine. I'm going to ask him, you know, how accurate are these confessions? And I want to meet your mom because she is a godly woman who prayed for you all your life, even in your times of severe rebellion. Monica. And I want to meet, you know, Thomas Aquinas and all these great theologians, but also all the mystics of old. It would be so cool to meet them and say, well, you know, what did we have right and what didn't we? All these folks. And we'll meet all the people that we've affected in this life, right? Through our giving and missions, through our visiting missionaries and being missionaries ourselves and the people that we've met along the way, we've helped along the way, like my friends up here who really helped me, encourage me in Christ. We'll see them again. We'll be reunited with them. Those people that you saw 5, 10 years ago who've moved on from here. We'll have time to enjoy each other's company. You can tell I'm really relational, so this is really gives me excited, right? To be like, I'm going to be at Urbana, not for a week. I'm going to be at Urbana for week after week after week, 52 weeks a year, you know, times 100, times 1,000, times 10,000, times 1,000,000 and billion years. We'll do that together. So who's going to be there? But we'll also get to see people we've never met. And particularly, I want to suggest that we will meet people. Oh, and it's going to be like this. You guys have heard of this, Passion 2013. I thought Urbana was huge. One big happy family. We talk about big, right? In just the United States, just the Georgia Dome fits 60,000 people. And that was filled with Christ worshipers the Christmas past. And we're remembered that it's going to be bigger than that. Spiritual descendants, biblical, historical saints around the world, and martyrs. Some of us remember and know that I'm saddened whenever I turn on the TV these days and we listen and hear about ISIS and what they're doing. Not only are they wreaking havoc in the ancient lands of Iraq and they're destroying what for me is really important archaeological digs in Mosul, they're destroying Nimrod, and they bulldoze Nimrod, the ancient one of the most ancient cities on planet Earth. But they're also killing and martyring our brothers and sisters in the Lord. 21 Egyptians who refused to recant, they slit their throats on video, and you can watch it if you want. I have chosen not to, but apparently it's available. And you can see them, and as they are having their throats cut and going home to the Lord, they're whispering and saying the name of Jesus. I look forward to meeting my brothers and sisters who've given their lives. They will be celebrated like on the Jumbotron in heaven, because I've never met them. But as they share their testimony, we will celebrate their lives and their sacrifice together. You know, yesterday we had a basketball game, and the team that Josh is on almost won that game. And there was a moment in that time and space, one of the players, you know, shot a three-pointer, and they pulled ahead for the first time with only a minute left in the game, and they started yelling this kid's name, and it was so exciting. They thought they're, you know, going, yeah, you know, do this thing, and it was so exciting. And I think that's what it's going to be like in heaven. When we read the names of these people, hear their testimonies. It's not a basketball game. It's not the Patriots winning the Super Bowl, as exciting as that was, and so many of us yelled and screamed when, you know, the butler did it. You know, when the butler did it, right? We're going to yell and scream because of what God has done in the lives of these people. And you and I will be so excited about that. That's who's going to be in heaven. We're going to be in this one big happy family forever and ever. And that's what we look forward to in heaven, because of who God is. But some of you say, Pastor Tom, your theology, I want to ask some hard questions about your theology. Because sometimes I've heard things like this. There are questions I have about marriage, sex, and romance. Because when we talk about heaven, oftentimes we know we've read Scripture, for instance, and said, well, what about marriage? Jesus says in Matthew chapter 22, verse 30, there will be no marriage in heaven. I don't, you know, I'm a married person. I'm a happily married. I don't like that idea. You mean there's going to be no marriage in heaven? Come on. That can't be good. I don't care about this whole Urbana thing. That sounds like too ethereal to me. That sounds really impersonal to me. I love my spouse, and I want my spouse to be with me forever and ever, and I don't, you know, what about that? Is that going to be heaven? I don't feel like it's going to be heaven. And so I think the idea is, no, yes, there will be marriage, but not to each other. Got it? We'll be married to God, to Christ, right? The Scriptures are throughout, and it tells us that we are the bride of Christ. So there will be a marriage. We will be married to Christ. Okay? There will be marriage, and that marriage is the ultimate marriage, because every human institution, including especially marriage in this earth, as we're reminded in Ephesians chapter 5, is that we are, marriage, as we understand it, as a human marriage, is a reflection and a signpost and a pointer for that which is eternal. And that is our relationship with God. So as good as your marriage may be, it is a reflection of that which God wants for each of us into the future with Him. So once we have the ultimate, that which we, you know, we don't need the intermediate, okay? But we will have, and I believe this too, that the relationships that we have will continue. And we'll have special relationships with that significant other. We will continue as good friends, best friends, and even grow in that. We'll just not be married. Alcorn suggests that it's sort of like a partnership. Josh is on this team, and they are basketball partners, right, for this team in this time and space. But you know what? Their friendship lasts beyond their team, right? Even though they're not teammates, because now, you know, basketball team's over and blah, blah, blah. But their friendships last on forever and can, right? So with our human relationships, our partnerships in the temporal space can lapse. But our relationships will go on. The good things in our relationship. Okay? And of course, we remember that, yes, not all of us have great marriages for those of us who are married. Right? Recognize that all the brokenness, all the hurt, all the pain will be taken out of those relationships. and we will be in harmony with each other. Okay? So that's about marriage. What about sex? Some of us are like, oh man, I don't know, man. We don't have marriage. That means we don't have sexual union in marriage. It's like, oh boy, that's I'm not sure that's going to be heaven either. That's going to be a tough one. And someone asked us, C.S. Lewis in one of his books suggests that, hey, it's sort of like this. If you tell a little boy that the highest carnal experience is sexual union, and he'll think to himself and say, the little boy will think to himself, says, you mean in the act of sex, you mean will they also eat chocolate? Because he only knows that eating chocolate is like the best thing for him, right? So he thinks that, hey, you know, sexual union, of course it has to include chocolate, right? But C.S. Lewis suggests that, look, just as a little boy can only see sexual union as the absence of chocolate, so we sometimes can only understand and we can't understand how wonderful and intimate and beautiful our union with Christ will be except from sexual union. So it is that there will be no sexual union there with each other or with Christ, but it will be that we'll have something so much better. It's as if, does that make sense to you? I'm trying to make that distinction. Anyway, we'll keep going. Okay. Maybe that one didn't help. Okay. I thought it was really helpful. Anyway. The last question is, what about romance? Some of us have never been married. Some of us have never spent that time and had someone kind of woo us and care for us and have this intimacy with us. What about us? A woman has talked to Randy Alcorn and said, hey, you know, I feel cheated. I never had that experience. And Pastor Randy said, but you will. You will. God Himself, Christ Himself will woo you. The intimacy and the specialness and the blessedness that so many people have in this romance will be yours in heaven. God Himself will woo you. And that'll be so much better than the temporal stuff that we do, right? Because those of us who have been married a few years know that it's hard to keep that romance going sometimes, right? But in God, there's this perfect foreverness to it. So, heaven is going to be a wonderful place. Like the song says, Pastor Stephen, we used to sing that song all the time. Heaven is a wonderful place filled with glory and grace. Okay, got it. So those are the questions around marriage, sex, and romance. What about questions around, and maybe this one's even harder. Whoa, what happened? It went off. My computer is doing its own thing now. Questions around children and family. Okay, children and family. Some of us would say, well, family reunion and one big happy family is a wonderful thing, but I don't actually like family very much. I don't like my family very much. When I do family reunions, there's always this awkward uncle. You know who he is, right? That uncle, that one is always a little odd. And if you don't know who it is, it's probably you, right? We know that. Family reunions can be odd and unusual because, you know, relationships are strained sometimes. But in family, we have opportunity in the eternal family, spiritual family. We will be together and it'll be harmonious and we'll be one. Okay? And so what happens is that we can have this opportunity to do that. And some will say, well, Pastor Tom, and I'll see my children, and they'll always be my children. My boys will always be my boys. Okay? We'll have a special relationship. They'll be eternal. I'll be eternal, but they'll always know me in some fashion as their father, and me and they're my sons. And say, Pastor Tom, but some of us have never been blessed with children. Right? Or I don't have a dad I can remember. Or mom, I can remember. And I think it's really cool because what Alcorn is suggesting is that we will have children that we've never met. In as much as there'll be people who are fatherless who are looking for fathers and mothers. And because we'll be in this perfect state, we can mother and father children who want to be parented unto eternity. We can have that relationship. It's not biological, it's spiritual. Because what is parenting, after all, but a spiritual, emotional relationship? Right? When we adopt a child, we care for them as if they were our own biological. Right? And so for those who've never experienced that, we can have that opportunity in heaven. Some would suggest and ask the question, well, what about those children who have passed, the unborn? What about them? See, Scripture suggests that we don't, some theologians think that, man, there's this thing called innocence. And that we're sort of born innocent, and so that's why God will accept them, because children are innocent. Unfortunately, that's not a really biblical perception. Clearly, Scriptures tell us that we are all born with a brokenness, and we inherit sin from Adam. And so it's not the sinfulness, sinlessness that God sees. It is basically God's grace to those who are children. There's a special grace, I believe, that God gives, and He applies the grace of Christ, through Christ, to children. In Old Testament, we see time and time again, children are pictured as those who are in heaven. Time and time again, we'll see as those who are blessed have a childlike faith. Time and time is this idea that children have been a special blessing from God. And so what we see, whether they're unborn or die well before age of understanding, is that God would indeed welcome them into His kingdom and into His family and welcome them back. We see that when David, King David, loses his son, right, with Bathsheba. And he says in that context in 1 Samuel, he cannot come to me, but I can go to him. And I believe the understanding of that verse is that he recognized that even though the child died only days within from birth, that he will see him again in heaven. So what we see is that God has a place for the unborn, for those who died well before their time. And that there'll be a beautiful union, a reunion of those who loved, of the beloved. I look forward to the day when some moms will reach out their hands and hold the hands of their little ones for the first time again. I look forward to the day when fathers who suffered will see their little ones and hold them in their laps. You see, God has a special place. Finally, some questions on relationships. One of the hardest things that people struggle with is, what about those people who have never received Christ or refused Christ? How can heaven be full of joy? How could be one happy family if a member of my family is not there? And I'm not saying this is an easy topic at all. It is difficult. And so many people have tried to figure out, and some people have rejected God because they cannot fathom. They cannot fathom an eternity without a certain person. And I think of a movie I've been rewatching. In it, it's called, Robin Williams passed recently. And he had a movie back a decade ago called What Dreams May Come. What Dreams May Come. And it's a beautiful cinematographic movie, and it won awards for all the cinematography, because it really talks about how a husband and a wife who had two children, who passed. And they all passed, but what happens is that he went to heaven and his children did too, but in the movie, okay, bad theology, bad theology, let me clarify. Bad theology, because it talks about reincarnation and all these things, but it tries to paint a picture of heaven and hell. Okay? And what happens is that he gets to heaven, he sees this beautiful place, being, you know, nature is beautiful, everything, all the people are wonderful, it's multi-ethnic, it's all these things. And okay, again, bad theology because God is not present. Minor detail. But he realizes his wife is not there. And she's gone to the other place. And he says, well, you can't get there from here, they say. The angel says to him. Okay? He can't get there from him. He says, yes, she's my soulmate and I will go down and get her. He says, the angel says, it's never happened before. He said, you just watch. I'm going to do this. And so he determines and he travels these pathways, blah, 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 and he goes to the seven levels of hell, blah, 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 and finds her. Why? Because he'd rather risk all. Risk all. And to be with his beloved. So many people struggle with that. Say, I can't be in heaven if my beloved is not here. But scriptures tell us and help us to understand that when we begin to understand, and there's some clues, okay? I'm not saying this is totally satisfying, but stick with me here. There are four aspects, I think, that we, it was on my screen, and now I have to look five really quickly that will give us a clue on how we can understand this. The first is the fairness and the justice of God. We understand that from all creation, Romans chapter 1, that God gives everyone an opportunity to receive Him, okay, whether they've heard the name of Christ or not. And especially for those who live in the West who have heard the name of Christ and have opportunities at church and every other corner, understand that you have opportunities and many people refuse that opportunity. And so the justice of God, we begin to understand the justice and the fairness of God more fully when we understand that cosmic treason and shaking our fists at God has its consequences. And we'll understand that when we spit in the face and the honor of the almighty, beautiful, glorious Savior and God, that deserves punishment. Justice. So one is justice. Two is that God is patient. We're reminded in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9, that, you know, for 1,000 years it's like a day, and a day like 1,000, and God waits, and He is being patient, waiting for sinners to turn to salvation. We remember that God has been patient with each and every one. And that we recognize that even though He could, by His just wrath, condemn and judge all, He chooses out of His mercy to save some. And He's patiently waiting to do so. That's two. The third, I think, is really profound and really interesting to think about, is in C.S. Lewis's book, The Great Divorce. At the end of that book, he has this fascinating interplay between this guy he calls a Trajan and a dwarf. The Trajan is an actor. Okay? He's an actor, and he's on this chain, and this chain is connected to a dwarf. And this dwarf is only as high as a monkey, and basically the dwarf is this man, a ghostly dwarf, this man, Frank. And Frank, when he was alive, was married to Susan. If you understand the story in The Great Divorce, these guys are visiting heaven. You know, all these people who are there are visiting heaven. And the Trajan, the actor, who's tall and thin and brusque, is being controlled by the dwarf, who's the real person. And in this exchange, you begin to realize that Susan is trying to get Frank to let go of the chain and to become himself and to receive the love that they have in heaven. And what happens is that in their exchange, the dwarf becomes actually, every time he talks to Susan, wants the love and the eternal blessing that she has. He grows in size. But every time he sort of looks selfishly in, and is angry and rejecting, he shrinks and the Trajan becomes bigger. In the end, he rejects the love that's offered. And he shrinks and shrinks and shrinks, and he disappears completely, and he is only this shell. And it becomes, in some sense, the Trajan. I think that's an illustration that sin, the third point, that sin completely takes over a person when they finally reject God. And there's nothing that's left of that person that's truly in the image of God and image of Christ. You see, in hell, just like in heaven, everything that is evil and bad and selfish and depraved will be taken out. So in hell, everything that is good and of love and the image of God will also be taken out. And when that happens, there's only going to be sort of the shell of the person that exists any longer. So at the end of that story, Susan is able to walk away and says, I don't know who that is. Because that person no longer has the image of God in them. What we loved in the people that we know is the image of God that is good and lovely and noble and beautiful in them. When all of that is taken out, they are no longer the people who we once loved. Something to think about. The justice of God, the patience of God, the total depravity of sin, the comfort of God who says, I will wipe away every tear from your eyes and face, and finally the joy of God. As C.S. Lewis wraps up this pericope, this passage, he says, look, we don't dare allow hell to blackmail heaven. Hell cannot veto the joy of heaven. Right? What he's saying is that, look, if God were allow that every person, every memory of a person who refuses God in the end to take away and strip away our joy, that would be blackmail. He says God will not allow that to happen, and He Himself, in the Trinitarian beauty of His majesty throughout all eternity, He lives in eternal happiness and joy and love, and yet He also understands all these people will ultimately reject Him and deserve punishment. We will enter into His joy, even knowing, perhaps, that some have rejected Him unto eternity. Trinitarian joy. We will join. So in this, this is supposed to be happy, you know, kind of thing, but I know this is hard stuff. So I'm going to end with what I think a joyous reunion looks like. And if we have pictures, if we don't. So I'm going to say that, what does one big happy family look like? When my boys were young, when Josh was a little kid, I had a picture of him with his brothers, and they used to play around all the time. I call them my puppies, and I still do, because when they get together, even at Christmas time, they're wrestling with each other. They're always all over each other. And I have this one picture of them, you know, together. They're out playing in the yard, because out in the yard, and they're playing football, and you know, and they were little. So Zach was about seven, eight, and Jeremy was, you know, a couple years younger, and Josh was this little tyke at 3 or 4, and they're all pretending to play football. And it looks like they're having such great fun, and they're about to hike the ball, and it just reminds me of the joy I felt when I saw them playing together without killing each other, you know, without trying to hurt each other. Because a father loves to see his children interact. His parent loves to see their kids interact because they are made in their image, and as they're interacting with each other, enjoying each other's company in the context of who He is, right? So it is with God. When we are in God's presence and we are enjoying each other's company, when we see the image of Jesus in each other and we're interacting in these ways, then we will experience that great joy and He will experience greater joy. That's what one big happy family is like in heaven. what we look forward to for those of us in Christ, we can look forward to spending that eternity together. An eternal urbana, passion, family reunion together. And all this is because Christ has done what in that movie, what dreams may come. Only one person could ever leave heaven and go to hell to rescue anyone. And that is Christ Jesus Himself, and He alone. Through Him we have heaven. I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. We celebrate Him. We worship Him, and we receive Christ as our Savior and our Lord. Let's pray.